Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Everybody, welcome to the first. Great to have you here. I'm Ryan Ballingy. It's our Monday show. We're coming back from a good weekend of professional golf. We have a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. We pared down to two things for you today. First of all, we're going to talk about our friends online at the PGA of America and the Ryder Cup ticket prices for their online sale for the 2025 Ryder Cup at Bethpage Black. Then we're going to talk a little bit about the weekend results on the PGA Tour with Matt McCarty continuing his three-month-long heater now as he wins the Black Desert Championship on the PGA Tour. And then a little bit of a salute for Black Desert Resort itself. Thought it was a tremendous host. We'll get to that at the very end. Please send in your questions and comments during the live show. It's the only time I really can see them and respond to them. Otherwise, we can talk about it after the fact, but wherever you're watching, whether you're watching live, after the fact, you know, in video, or after the fact as a podcast, I appreciate it. All right, let's start with Ryder Cup. So the pre-sale or early sale for the Ryder Cup tickets for 2025 is underway, and the prices have caught people's attention. Needless to say. So Kevin Van Valkenburg from No Laying Up and fellow Baltimore native is was out there with a tweet today sharing about this and looking at the menu of prices for the practice days, you know, up until Friday, Monday through Thursday, those ticket prices as compared to Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Now, these are tickets that are bought in advance, and it's with a specific package, like the plus package, and these include New York State fees, state tax, which is significant, I think like 10%. And then you're looking at ticketing fees, which always screw you over, regardless of what you're buying a ticket to, plus the actual ticket prices that the PGA of America is charging for entry to the event. On the weekdays that are practice days, we're looking at $255, $256, I believe is the actual number, plus some cents. As the ticket price just to get in for a practice round. That includes F&B. Then you get to Friday, Saturday, and Sunday when they play the matches, and it goes up by triple. It's now $750-ish to go on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. Doesn't make a difference. Any of the tournament days are the same. Those include food and beverage. Now, people are upset about this because, well, that's a lot of money, and that's a substantial increase over the last time the United States hosted the Ryder Cup, right? Last time that happened, that was what was supposed to be the 2020 Ryder Cup, played in 2021 at Whistling Straits. And that was a very different set of circumstances. It was during the time of the pandemic. It wasn't entirely clear whether lots of Americans would be comfortable traveling to Wisconsin for the event. A lot of European players or European fans weren't going to be able to make the journey because of travel restrictions and other issues on their end. So none of it was crystal clear that you're going to get a ton of people. So prices weren't really that expensive. Someone mentioned online they were able to get practice round tickets at Whistling Straits for $60, which, you know, given the market at the time, given the world conditions at the time, kind of made sense. But ticket prices did go up substantially. And I entered personally into the Ryder Cup lottery for 2023 in Italy. I won, I think it was a Tuesday slot to be able to go to the practice round. I was going to pay for tickets for myself and my wife, really more for my wife because I was going to be credentialed for the event. But just in case, you know, you never know, you get your tickets and worst case, you resell them. And they were looking at $250-ish then, you know, last year in Italy. So the prices really haven't changed from the Italy Ryder Cup to the current one. Maybe more on the Friday, Saturday, Sunday side. I'd not get to see what the prices were Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Marco Simone. However, in terms of what you saw pricing-wise against the practice rounds, pretty similar. Still, that's a lot of money for a single day. $750, but I don't care how much food and beer you can drink. If you're in your 20s and you can slam 20 beers, even if you did that, at the prices they are charging, $15 a pop. Then maybe you have drank, if you drink 20 of them, like $300 worth of beer, retail price-wise. Certainly not actual price-wise. You get Mick Ultras for $2 a bottle. You know, you're not really drinking $300 worth of booze. But even if you did that, that gets you to $450-ish to see golf. And that's a lot of money for a lot of people. The pushback to that is a couple of things. One, there's a market for it. The PGA of America wouldn't put this out there in the largest media market in the country if they didn't think they could get that price tag, right? They're going to sell out everything. It's all going to be gone. They're going to sell out the tickets. They always do, or they come awfully close. And what they don't sell, they'll sell at a minor discount, or they'll repackage it in some way so that a corporate group gets it, or they'll get it to a not-for-profit in the region, you know, something like that to make sure the tickets get out the door, right? They wouldn't have picked this price point if they didn't think they could get it. Think about what it costs to go to a Knick game, right? There are 41 of those a year. You want good seats? That's going to run you a couple $100 just to get in the lower bowl. If you want really good seats, now we're in the four figures, and that's before we talk food and beverage. So from that perspective, that kind of makes sense, I suppose. The second piece of this is a lot of people who buy tickets for these events, they do it with a corporate card, right? They're doing it on someone else's budget or dime. Like, you're going to take your clients out to the Ryder Cup, or you're going to do it as a write-off to your business of some kind. That happens too, right? So spending $750 on a corporate account is a little bit different than spending $750 out of a personal account. But also, if you're coming from Manhattan and you're taking the LIRR out, or whatever train you got, I don't know the subway routes especially well, but whatever you're taking out there, you're going to get off, right? And then you're going to go back into Manhattan, and the prices you're paying out in Long Island, it might seem steep for Long Island, but for Manhattan, not so much. So if you're attracting that group of folks, then not that it's reasonable, it's still a lot of money, but the outlay for $750 on a New York salary as a wealthier person is more like $200 if we did this thing in Minneapolis, right? It's a little bit different of a world economically. So they're trying to maximize the value they can bring in by being in the biggest media market in the world, one of the biggest bases of wealth on the planet. That's why they're doing it. I'm not saying that's a good thing, and I'm not saying that doesn't tick you or me off, but that's why they're doing it. The second angle to this is they're trying to probably keep out some of the quote-unquote riffraff that I think they're expecting to come to Long Island, right? Bethpage is the People's Country Club. It's hosted multiple U.S. Opens. Those U.S. Opens had awesome crowds that were willing to heckle the crap out of anybody they didn't like, either in 02 or 09. 09 was basically Woodstock for a day and a half, and even in the rain, the people were crazy and fun. And then obviously I have a PGA championship there. Similar crowds, lots of yelling. Brooks Koepka got mad at points. Dustin Johnson got mad at points in their final round battle. So, you know, there's maybe some attempt to kind of price out people who are going to be a little too crazy, I guess. But this is the Ryder Cup. At the same time, that's what you want. You want this to be nuts and fun and loud and annoying for the Europeans to play. The whole point of the setup of home and homes is currently set up to give a huge advantage to the home team, right? Not just course setup, but also in terms of home crowd and just feeling of comfort. And the United States team is going to have that way better than the European side is going to have it. So that kind of contradicts itself. I've read that theory a little bit. I don't disagree with the idea, but I don't think that plays into it as well as maybe it might first seem. All told, this is an event that makes an astounding amount of money. An astounding amount of money. I mean, you're selling 30-ish thousand tickets a day, especially for those days of competition, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And that competition is very easy to control, relatively speaking, right? You never have more, at least on Friday and Saturday, than four matches out there at a time. So no more than four holes occupied at a time. It's relatively easy to control. That means people movement, people watching, security, all that stuff's pretty easy. It also means that it's kind of easy to fan out and get people the concessions they want. Stuff like it's pretty easy to run compared to a tournament where you have 35,000 people spread out over 18 holes, all kinds of different stuff going on all the time, a little bit tougher to manage. So the overhead is lower, so to speak. That makes it a much more profitable event for those 3 days, even though you get one less playing day compared to a PGA Championship. And I think then that calls to the argument, all right, well, then why aren't you paying the players? That's the next argument is, okay, if this costs so darn much, why aren't you paying the players to participate? They don't get a salary. They don't get money. They don't get a donation in the name of their choice quite to the same extent you might get with the President's Cup. Like, you're not getting compensated. Why are you not getting compensated? Also, why are the players who made the Ryder Cup not being compensated from this amount of money? Because the Ryder Cup is what it is today because of, Jack and Arnie, but also Seve and Tom Watson and Fred Couples and Ben Crenshaw, all kinds of players over the years who made this thing something, and they're not seeing any benefit for that $750 ticket price. And the pushback would be, they knew it going into it, and I fully agree with you. But if you're making that kind of money, this is a $150, $175 million event for the PGA of America, that's entering the territory where it starts to sound like, hey, maybe someone should get a little bit of this. Doesn't have to be the players in the form of a salary. It could be charitable giving in the form of $20 million, $10 million, $5 million. Take your number. But something to that end. It almost kind of feels like it's too much. When you can say reasonably whether you can question you want to go play Pebble Beach Golf Links or spend a day with F&B at the Ryder Cup, and that they're about the same amount of money, that's maybe a little too stratospheric. Maybe that's a little too much. And again, I understand this makes a ton of money. It's a huge money driver for the PGA of America, and they've got a market for it. They're going to do it until they can't. But the visual of that for anyone who isn't even thinking of attending in the first place, knowing they've been priced out, that's a tough one for people to take, I think. All right, let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about the PGA Tour event that wrapped up yesterday in Utah, the Black Desert Championship. We have Brian Taylor on from Real Golf Radio, who's been involved with the Black Desert Resort Development Project over the years. He was on as a guest last week, gave us great insight to the golf course. He was kind of thinking this would be about the winning range that we got in the low 20s under par. We got that with Matt McCarty, who wound up shooting 23 under 261 on the par 71 course. He was phenomenal on Sunday, got to the drivable par 4 from 297, hit it to, 3.5 feet, makes the eagle, makes birdie on 16, leaves himself a 3-shot lead. He makes the bogey on 17. Who cares? It's down to 2. Gets on the green on the par 5 18th and 2. I mean, he smashed one down the 18th fairway. It was beautiful. Gets in, hits it to 20 feet, lips out for eagle, winds up winning by that 3-shot number in the end over Steven Yeager. And he is a PGA Tour winner in his third career start. Joins a very select company of players in the history of the PGA Tour going back to at least 1970. That won within the first 3 starts of their career. I think there's a handful of them plus McCarty. There aren't many, right? One guy with 1, Garrett Hago with 2, I think 2 or 3 others with 3. That's it. There are not many people who have done this in the history of the PGA Tour. He becomes the second guy in the history of the Korn Ferry Tour /web.com Tour /Nike Tour /Hogan Tour to Nationwide Tour to have won a 3-win promotion, the Battlefield promotion, as it used to be called, for winning 3 times in a season on the Korn Ferry Tour, get that PGA Tour membership, and within the same calendar year, win on the PGA Tour. Jason Gore did that in 2005 when he won 3 events on the Korn Ferry Tour, then I believe it was the Nationwide Tour, and then got the promotion to the PGA Tour, won, I think, 3 events later at the 84 Lumber Classic at Nemacolin in Pennsylvania. That was his only PGA Tour win. That was the only win he ever had. He had a close call at the U.S. Open at Pinehurst number 2, but never got another PGA Tour win. And obviously, he's made a nice life for himself. He's a player liaison, works for the tour, does great work. But he's the only other guy to have done this. There have been 13 players, including McCarty, who have gotten the 3-win promotion. Something like 10 more have won 3 times in a season, whether that was before they had the 3-win promotion or happened at the end of the PGA Tour season, whatever. But He's the second guy ever in the history of the Korn Ferry Tour to get that promotion and then go win on the PGA Tour that year. That's awesome for him. Now that gives him a two-year exemption. So instead of just being exempt for next year, he's exempt for one more beyond, or two, really two more beyond that. He gets himself into the top 100 in the FedEx Cup points list, despite playing obviously no events this season except the ones he's gotten in the last couple and one other, you know, qualifying for a major. That's it for him, which is amazing. If he has one more good week, basically a top two or three finish, there's a chance he gets into that top 60, which would get him into the first two signature events of next year on the mainland United States. So he's got plenty to play for in that regard. He is into the Masters with the win. He was already in the U.S. Open, the Players, because he finished number one on the points list on the Korn Ferry Tour. Didn't even have to play the Korn Ferry Tour Championship at French Lick to do that. So he's probably going to be in the top 50 at the end of the year, unless something strange happens and he falls off the cliff. He's like 47th in the world right now. So he's right in that number. Couple more decent events. He's definitely inside that top 50. Now he's getting in all the majors, and he looks really good to get himself a chance to get into more signature events because you get higher ranking, maybe you get exemptions. All kinds of stuff works in his favor. It really steamrolls quickly with like one more good week. Doesn't even have to be a win. But this is huge for him. It's great. It's really cool to see and hear him talk about, especially after the fact, not the TV interview with Amy Rogers, which was good, but where he talked about after the fact that a younger him wouldn't even understand how far he had come in just this short period of time. Like going back to the beginning of July, middle of July, when he won the Price Cutter Charity Championship, then he won the Pinnacle Bank Championship in Nebraska, then he won the Albertsons Boise Open to kick off the Korn Ferry Tour Finals, got that three-win promotion, still played the next two Korn Ferry Tour Finals events, finds out he's more than 600 points up on Max McGreevy, who also played this week, by the way, played very well, I thought. But he knew he had that locked up. He could go play Sanderson Farms, makes the cut. He's comfortable. He said he felt good after last week. Maybe something good was possible. Goes out in a first-year event. No one knows the course. It's pretty wide open. Korn Ferry Tour kind of set up with tougher greens, tougher hole locations, but similar setup. And all of a sudden, he's a PGA Tour winner. That is a life-changing 3 months for that guy. And again, in two majors, probably all four majors next year, unless he falls off the cliff in the next month and a half. Good for him. Incredible run. Culmination of a remarkable summer. Great year for him. Really, really cool. Very happy to see it. It's cool to see Steven Yeager play well. I really liked Black Desert, which is kind of the last point of the show today. I think this is what I want from the fall. This is what I want. If we're going to have these tournaments, I want them to be so different and unique. Right, I'm fine with 132 player fields. I'm fine with 120 player fields. Cut down that number. Less daylight. Don't need the bloat, right? Because you're not going to have top 50 players coming in that often. So why expand the field to 144 or 132 from either of those 120 or 132 numbers? You don't need those extra players. You're just calling extra people. No offense, but Jadon Blake played this week on a sponsor exemption. He didn't need to, and I'm not saying he was taking up a spot in the field, but he didn't need to be there. So I'm fine with the shorter fields. I'm fine with taking it to unique places, right? You wouldn't probably have Black Desert host a main part of the year FedEx Cup event, right? Even though it's really fun to watch on TV, the views are incredible, and I'm sure they got a ton of phone calls from people who wanted to play. I don't think that's the setup you're going to get week to week. You're just not going to get that. We tried that with Trinity Forest in Dallas for the Nelson. They did it for 2 years. The guys lit it up, and then they were out of there. In the fall, I'm cool with it. Have a go low event. Have one where 22, 25 under wins. Totally fine with that. You've got the event in Jackson that's been there forever, the event in Napa. Those are different enough, I think, but Napa and Utah are certainly different. You've got desert golf, true desert golf this week, old school desert golf at TPC Summerlin, where you miss the fairway, you might be in, you know, cacti left and right. I think that's cool. That's a little bit different. All right, let's take it another place. We're going to Bermuda. Okay, that's a very short golf course, very tight, very windy. Different style of golf. That's fine. RSM is island golf like Bermuda, but it's a little bit different flavor, more laid back. They all have their own little character to it. And I think if they leaned into those things a little bit more, I think that would be a good thing for the fall. Then you still have the event in Japan. We still get the Zozo. I don't know how many years are left on that contract. It's going to go away, but I don't know how many years are going to be left on that contract. I think you can get some character out of the fall. I think you could also offer a little bit more of a carrot, maybe if you're the top player in the FedEx Cup 51 through 60, maybe that player gets a special thing too, make it a little prize worth following at least, kind of like the DP World Tour has done with their swings this year, where you have like seven event series where there's $1 million prize pool and the winner gets $200,000. Maybe you do something like that for the FedEx Cup Fall, where the winner of the FedEx Cup Fall gets a birth into something. I don't know, birth into the century, something. Try to stitch it more together, because the fall is kind of an island unto itself. It doesn't need to be. I don't think it has to be. I think it can work very, very well for what it is. The purses are going to be lower. The purse this week in Vegas is $1.4 million lower than last year. We all recognize that the fall is what it is. TV viewers are plummeting, interest fading because of the concept that changes the PGA Tour schedule, I think, for the better in the longer haul for the main part of the schedule. But that comes at the risk of turning people off to the fall. So this is for the hardcore fan. Make it for them. Give them a reason to tune in every week. Give them a reason to be interested in the outcome of the whole series, not just these 10 people getting these events and these extra 55 people get to keep their card. Throw in something to make the whole series worth watching. Have it be a prize, a small prize, a monetary prize plus access to some events. I think you could put it all together, but I think Black Desert fits a great portion of the schedule. I'm very interested to see how Black Desert will do as an LPGA venue. It will be one starting next May for a spring LPGA event and a fall PGA Tour event. The resort's putting a lot of money to work to promote Black Desert, get it on TV. I think it's doing the job because, man, it looked good. And I think we can kind of vary up courses a little bit with the fall schedule and maybe keep it pretty fun and interesting. But we'll see what the numbers say. On Tuesday, we'll get a flavor of how many people watch this thing. I expect it to be around 100,000-ish people. It's just the reality of it. And we'll see from there. We got a pretty good schedule this week. Like I mentioned, we've got Shriners Children's Open in Las Vegas. We've got the LPGA at the BMW Ladies Championship in South Korea. 33 of the world top 50 are playing this week in South Korea. That's a great event. You should really get a chance to tune in nighttime hours, late primetime-ish, especially if you're on the West Coast. Great opportunity to watch in primetime, very late primetime there. And the DP World Tour has the Andalusia Masters, which is great. It's one of my favorite events. John Rahm is playing, so if you want to see where he is, he's going to be playing this week. Get a hold of me, Ryan at thegolfnewsnet.com. I'm on social media at Ryan Ballingy. So is Golf News Net at the handle Golf News Net. We'll be back tomorrow with another show. Thanks so much for watching or listening. We will catch you next time on 2 of the First. Have a great day, everybody.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.